Friends, welcome to this session on trade finance. Before we start the discussion on trade finance, I would like to introduce about myself. My name is Abhasaheb Chauhan and I am a professional banker, having put approximately 45 years of the banking service, worked in public sector, private sector, banks for more than 45 years, and thereafter I have also habitual about parting the knowledge, maybe around more than 1,000 sessions of the training on the trade finance provided to the different industrial groups or maybe trade finance professional. I am happy that Wellinker Institute of Management has assigned me the task of preparing this syllabus book for the trade finance for the benefit of you people, and accordingly I have prepared the book maybe 5-6 years back, and thereafter the three revisions took place, and these three revisions is for the purpose of updating the book depending upon the market development, regulatory changes, or any other changes which happens worldwide in the trade finance. Okay. So with this, a short introduction about me, we will start our discussion on this trade finance book. This trade finance is a subject where a lot of regulations are imposed for the trade. This may be domestic or it may be international trade. Whenever we call it as a domestic trade, only local laws are applicable. But when we talk about the international trade, local laws as well as international laws and certain regulatory regimes and certain directions issued by the international agencies which are accepted worldwide by the trading commodities that is applicable to the trade. That is why trade finance is generally considered as a complex subject. But according to me, it is not at all complex. It is not at all a complex subject. It is very easy subject, provided if you keep your eyes and ears open and keep your knowledge updated by reading the financial newspaper and the market trade in various publications, and accordingly you can enjoy the subject trade finance. So friends, with this small introduction about the trade finance subject, this trade finance syllabus book, which consists of around 24 chapters, and these 24 chapters are arranged in such a manner that right from the zero till the 24th chapter, I will be moving you through all the chapters, and the entire gamut of the trade finance I will try to explain you, though it is written in the books, but it is invariably required to understand from the perspective of better understanding. That is why this video recording. So let us start our discussion on this trade finance. First chapter gives you the idea about the foreign trade and what are the other elements which are included in the foreign trade. That also we will touch upon, and slowly we will go through each and every topic so that it will be easy for you for the future chapters you to understand it better. So in this, I have structured this particular chapter, I have structured in such a manner that you will get the basic idea of the trade, particularly foreign trade, I mean to say. Okay, so In this, we will first understand the meaning of the foreign trade, and there are various issues that come across in the foreign trade, which includes the dumping. Then many times you heard the word that is balance of trade, balance of payment, disequilibrium, correction of the deficit. During the course of the balance sheet, or when the country present or country's finance minister presents the budget somewhere in the at the end of the February every year, that time they uses these words, and for the layman it is very difficult to understand what they are talking about. But you, being a student of the trade finance, can easily understand once you go through this chapter. Now, let us understand first the trade. Trade is nothing but buy and sale of the goods and services. Remember, services are also included in the trade. So, trade means physical trade and non-physical trade. So, physical trade is where buy and sale of the goods happens, and the services are exchanged from the service providers and the service between service providers and service receivers. So, the foreign trade of the country refers to its import. Import means purchase, and the export. Export means sale of the merchandise from and to the countries under the contract of sale. So, anybody, any trader, any foreign trader, when he is very much required to enter into a contract that is called contract of the sale. Then they decide what terms and conditions for the sale and the purchase. If both agrees, then there will be exchange of the goods. And once the goods are exchanged, then there will be a payment received or payment required to be made. So, this is all about the basic about the foreign trade. Okay. So, no country in the world produces all the commodities which generally required by their countrymen. Okay. And that is the reason why they have to depend on other countries. The country which produces the more commodities has a greater advantage of exporting, selling that particular commodity than the country which imports or purchases that commodity. Okay. Generally, the export covers a wide range of traditional and non-traditional items, while import consists of mainly, as far as our country is concerned, is the capital goods, petroleum product, raw materials, and the chemicals, and to meet the ever-increasing need of the developing and diversifying economy of our country. Any trade is nothing but an exchange of the goods, as I explained earlier, exchange of the goods and services between the purchaser and the seller. That is called trade. So, meaning of the foreign trade is exchange of the goods and services between the purchaser and the seller. When purchaser and seller are in the same country, then it is called as inland trade or domestic trade. But either of the party, either purchaser or seller, resides in two or more countries, then, and if there is a purchase and sale of the goods happens, then it is called international trade. So now you understood what is the inland trade and what is international trade, or what is domestic trade and what is international trade. It is very clear for you. Okay. The international trade we are focusing now. The international trade is little bit costly because it attracts more elements of the cost more elements which attracts the cost than the domestic trade, because there are several factors. There are several factors that attach to the international trade than the inland trade. For better understanding, some major international trade are summarized as here in front of you. That is, it starts with the international trade. What are the components involved in the international trade, which all may not be involved in the domestic or internal or local trade? Okay. Now, first, when the globalization starts, then there is a requirement of the overproduction of the more production, depending upon the orders. So the company may not be in position to produce that much of the goods or provide the service. So they're depending on others. That is why they are outsourcing the manufacturing of the goods. Outsourcing. Once it is outsourced, then while selling the goods or transporting the goods, there will be the tariff charges, okay, which will be followed by the other cost, that is cost of importing. Then import cost. Thereafter, while doing the import, the custom also levies its charges. Thereafter, what happens? Freight is required to be paid for the carrier. Thereafter, you need to prepare the document for that. There is a required manpower or different kind of instruments so as to print or prepare, or maybe courier charges so as to deliver it. And over and above, while making the movement of the goods, anything may happen to the goods. So he has to take care of that goods also. So he has to ensure those goods. So these are very, very important factors which affects the cost of the importing or international trade. Okay. And after all, when the goods reaches and when the payment is required to be made by the buyer, that is importer, then there may be heavy fluctuation in exchange rate. Exchange rate means foreign exchange rates, one currency to another currency. If you are exporting, suppose if you are importing certain type of goods from USA, okay, and if there is and payment is required to be made in US dollar, under such situation, you have to sell the rupee, buy the dollars, and you have to send the dollar to the supplier of the goods. Then, rate exchange rate between rupee and dollar, very recently in 2022, middle of the 2022, you must have seen the rupee has become so weak that it has touched the level of rupees 84 per one US dollar, which was just 1 month back, it was moving around 75 to 76. So how much rupee is devalued, or there is a gap due to this exchange, due to the demand of the dollar. Okay. So exchange rate is also playing a very vital role in international trade. And after all, there are certain laws, particularly origin of the goods. If you do not have the goods, then perhaps you may have to buy it from the other countries so as to supply it to the other parties also. Then there will be law. If you are not producing, then you have to buy it from somebody else, then that cost also you have to incur. Then laws of the country, and finally you are determining the pricing of that. So all these factors are impacting on the cost of international trade. Okay, typically the features of the foreign trade can be grouped into the four parameters. Four parameters: one is involvement of the different monetary unit, as I explained some time back about pricing. That is pricing at what price he will sell, at what price one will purchase. Second factor or second parameter is imposition of the restriction on import and export by the various countries. You have produced the goods, but if there is a ban on exporting it, or you need certain goods where there is a ban on exporting from other countries, you cannot import it. So there are various countries, they are putting restrictions depending upon the availability of these goods by the country. Okay, then third one is the imposition of restriction on release of the foreign currency. What happens in Sri Lanka very recently? They are unable to make the payment. Even though the buyer in their country, they have the foreign currency, but the country's regulatory authority stops releasing those funds so as to make the payment to the other entities or outside the country. So they are imposing the restriction to release the foreign currency because they are shortage of the foreign currency. And the fourth and the last parameter will be existence of multiple regulation, legal practices and rules in different countries. If you put together, it becomes very difficult for layman to understand, but coolly thinking in such a manner that you have to do the business, you follow the rules, you follow the regulation, you follow the legal practices. And once you establish that, then you will be definitely doing a successful business. Okay. Now, coming down to understand this foreign trade, once you understand these factors or parameters, now you will understand the foreign trade. What is the foreign trade? Foreign trade is, it is divided into two types. One is, as you know, import, and second one is export. Import means when the seller is abroad and buyer is in the home country, that is in India, the trade which has happened between the two is called import. It means, in short, in import, goods are coming in into the country. Goods are coming in into the country and payment is going out because you purchased it and payment is going out. And export means when the seller is in the home country and the buyer or purchaser is in another country, then the trade is known as export. In export, goods are going out. And the foreign currency or a payment is coming in. That is the reason the government of India or any government of the country is giving priority or boost or more concession to the export than import, because every country wants to conserve the costly foreign exchange earned by them to retain in their portfolio rather than spending it. Okay. Now, once you understand the import, the types of the trade, then this trade also can be bifurcated depending upon its visibility. One is a visible trade. Visible trade, that means you can see the goods or merchandise, and transfer or exchange the goods is visible. You can see with open eyes and exchange the services between the purchaser and sellers is invisible. Whereas in invisible trade, invisible, which you cannot see by eye, by your open eyes. For example, shipping transfer of the technical know-how, insurance, transportation fee, fees on account of the professional services rendered, that is services, bank charges, commission, exchange. This you cannot see, but it is levied and it is impacting your trade. That is called invisible trade. When I am availing the consultancy services from abroad, I have to make the payment. So I have availed the services, that means purchased the services, and for which I have to make the payment. Exactly reverse is the trend when we receive the payment on account of consultancy which is given from here, that is India, to some other country. So these services you cannot touch, you cannot feel, but you can give. You can give. You can talk to the people, you can consult them, you can send the mails, you can receive the faxes. Now, these are the only media or medium by means of which the services are rendered. These services, actual services rendered, you cannot see. Whereas in case of visible, if certain quantity of the goods, the quantity you can measure, you can see, you can view. This is the difference between the visible trade and invisible trade. Okay? Now, there are various issues related to the import and export. Now, out of which, one is, one by one, we are going to check what are the other important factors which is directly affecting the country's import or export. First factor is a dumping. Dumping means throwing or keeping for a longer time as there are no takers. Okay? Simple meaning, dumping. This term is nothing but it is an act of offloading a stock with little regard for its price. The best example is China. China produces large number of goods, any kind of goods China is producing. Now they are producing in such a manner that market is saturated. There are no takers for that. There are no takers for that. So under these circumstances, their government prepared a law. Any material which is produced, if it is not sold or that material is not exported within 6 months of time, then that material will be getting destroyed by the government authorities. Now, the only option left with the manufacturer is sell it at throwaway price. Sell it at throwaway price. So under the circumstances, Chinese goods are very, very cheap in the market. But if you look at the quality is also substandard quality. But you cannot determine what the quality, how long it will give the services. So that is a separate part. Only thing is that dumping is simply produce and keep, and there is no taker, that is dumping. Okay? Now, the standard technical definition of the dumping is the act of charging a lower price for the like goods in a foreign market than one charge for the same good in the domestic market for the consumption in the home market of the exporter. It means exporting at very low price even though there is a higher price which is paid for the domestic also. But consumption and demand is at low, that is why at lowest rate the manufacturer will have to sell the goods or destroy the goods. This is dumping. Now, the dumping also taken very serious view about the dumping World Trade Organization has taken a very serious view, okay? And they clearly stipulated you enter into an agreement so that there will be no overproduction of the goods. Now, the dumping is condemned. Prepare, manufacture, invest, and then destroy. This is condemned. This is not a good act. But this is not prohibited also. If it causes or threatens to the cause material injury to the domestic industry, then in that case, the dumping may apply. Now, depending upon the type, what I explained, types of dumping is very important to see. There are four types. First one is different types of dumping. First one is a sporadic dumping. Sporadic dumping means occasional sale of the commodity at below cost. Occasional sale of commodity at below cost so as to unload an unforeseen and temporary surplus of the commodity such as cheese, milk, wheat. These are the perishable commodities. You cannot save them or preserve them for the longer time. Therefore, if there is an overproduction, then occasionally you have to sell it at below cost or low cost. So, the international market, you can sell it at lower prices even though you are not reducing the prices at, you are not reducing the prices at domestic market. Okay? This is sporadic, means occasionally dumping. Okay? Another type of dumping is predatory dumping. Predatory means temporary sale of the commodity at below its average cost or lower cost. Okay? Why? In order to derive the foreign producers out of the business. If I am competing with somebody, if he has the same product, if I am selling it, just to kill him, I may sell it at low price so that his goods will not be purchased by anyone else, because under same quality, same type of goods I am producing and giving it to at very low prices. So this type of dumping is called predatory dumping, just a killing instinct. Okay, so the prices are raised to take advantage of the monopoly power abroad. Third one is a persistent dumping. Persistent means continuous. So continuous tendency of the domestic monopolist to maximize the total profit by selling the commodity at higher price in the domestic market than the internationally to meet the competition of the foreign rivals. To meet the competition at foreign rivals. Very easy to understand. The persistent means continuous increase in the cost. Okay? Now, we see types of dumping. Now, why this dumping happens? What are the causes, reason for the dumping? Okay? The few reasons I quoted here, and it is, you will be better understanding this. Number one reason is, producers in one country are trying to stay a competitive in the market with producer in another country in competition, right? Number two, producers in one country are trying to eliminate the producer in another country. Just now I put the example, you know, killing the domestic industry, okay, and exporting it at lower price, right? So producers in one country are trying to eliminate the producers in another country and gain a larger share of the world market. Okay. Third one is, the producer trying to get rid of excess stuff that they can't sell in own country. Example of the China, which was quoted some time back. Fourth one is a producer can make more profit by dividing the sales into domestic and the foreign market. Same quality of the goods, but part of it will be sold in the domestic market and part of it will be sold in international market, okay, for the purpose of gaining the profit. The charging of each market, wherever price and the buyers are willing to pay, they can charge. Now, international market, price will be higher, he will earn more profit. Domestic, same quality of goods, little less, but it can be sold and turnover will be increased, so that profit will be increased. These are the strategies and these are the causes of the dumping. Now, after you dump, after you understand the dumping, another important aspect in the foreign trade is balance of trade. Any country has to manage its balance of trade. Now, what is this balance of trade? Balance of trade means the position of the import and position of the export of the country as against other countries, as compared to other countries. This is also called as the difference between the value of the commodities imported and the value of the commodity exported. When the exporter of the country, or when the export of the country exceeds the import of the goods, then it is said to have, it is surplus balance of trade. Surplus balance of trade. And exactly reverse, when the import of the goods and services exceeds the export of the goods and services, then it is said to have deficit one. It is said to have deficit one. Or it may also called as negative balance of trade, or it may be also termed as an unfavorable or adverse balance of trade position. These words please keep always in the mind, because any point of time during the trade conclave or during the trade, whenever you are handling the trade, that time it will be more easy to understand what is surplus balance of trade, what is deficit balance of trade, what is negative balance of trade, what is unfavorable balance of trade, what is adverse balance of trade. Okay, so this is balance of trade. Now, when the country exports the commodities, it gains the foreign exchange. It means when export happens, that means goods are going out and the money or foreign exchange is coming into the country. If the import exceeds the exports, then it results into whatever foreign exchange is conserved by that country, the foreign exchange has to give it to other countries supplier of the goods, and that is out of the reserve. That is out of the reserve, or many times borrowing from one country and then paying to another country, because country doesn't have any foreign exchange. So always remember, balance of trade will not be an ordinarily a balanced one. Ups and downs are always there. Now, our country is having continuously very good balance of trade, because our export is more than import, because many concessions are given to the exporters and export is very much on higher side. If you look at the India's trade deficit as on June 2022, very recently, okay, as compared to the earlier estimate of $25.64 in June, we have, that's our country, has $26.18 billion export. So it is higher than the previous year. Okay? And the import, which was also jumped from 57.55% on year-on-year basis, and it is all the high time up to, it is already high time, and it has went up to 66.37 billion, boosted by the sharp rise in purchase of silver, gold, coal, coke, and briquettes. These are the commodities, if you look at, these commodities, almost more than 50% of the import cost is going out because of import of gold, import of silver, or import of coal, import of oil or coke, right? And these are the essential, but gold and silver is not that way essential, but it has, it is ambitions of any person, because every family in the country, they want to have the gold in their house. That is why the import is generally on higher side. Recently, the government, and to curb that, the import is high, no hoping. So to curb that, there are certain measures taken by the government. Then they have increased import of taxes on the gold to 12.5% in July. 12.5%. It is increased than the last time. What will happen? Because of the taxes, the gold will be higher and prices will be much higher. So that the people will reduce their taste to purchase the gold in the market. Meanwhile, export, which was raised by 23.52% to $40.13 billion, mainly driven by the sale of petroleum products and engineering goods, that we are selling, and we are matching our balance of trade position. Here, you can very well see in front of you the chart which is given for India's balance of trade, which is updated as on July 22. You can very well see it in your book, or it may be this presentation which was already explained to you. So thank you very much.